behind the microphone? Is that what you're telling me?
No, you don't have to stay behind the microphone.
Good morning, folks. How are you doing this morning? It is good to be here. It really is. I sure have missed this place. Brother Jasanis, he has a number of occasions mentioned that when I'm in the area, let you know, and, you know, let him know, and he'd have me in, and I just haven't been able to get into the area that often. So it's good to be here. I appreciate that missions room we have over there. That's a beautiful room. Now, being a guy and having no feminine idea of what to do, I had to resort back to my old military training for the returning of quarters. So this morning I went through and I stripped the bed and set the linens aside, hung up the towels so they would dry and not mildew, closed the windows, turned off the fan, shut the door behind me, removed any residue of my presence there. So I hope I did it properly, and this whole idea about that's the way you have to do in the military. You get assigned a quarters in the military, you have to leave it the way you found it. So, the whole thing about the suit jacket, you notice I did wear a white shirt, so that does show I am some fundamental. No, I am fundamental. And I will, you notice, brother, long sleeve white shirt. Brother Jasanis for years have picked on me for wearing short sleeve white shirts. So it is long, buttoned at the wrist. And now I'm comfortable. That's why I wore the white one, and I wanted to make sure it was just proper. So open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning, which is very familiar to probably most of us here. But I think it's an interesting passage of Scripture nonetheless. Starting in verse 38, the Scripture says this, "Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's have our prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to stand once again on this platform behind this sacred desk and proclaim your word. Lord, we ask you this morning to work in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, we ask you to take this word, this passage of Scripture, and mend it and meld it into our hearts. Lord, I pray that the results of this message and the results of this passage will not easily be forgotten, but in contrary, Lord, have eternal effect on the future. Lord, we ask you all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. You ever get so tied up in things that you just don't know which way to turn? Sometimes I feel that way. You know, it seems like I've got so many things going on. And, you know, I guess during the morning service, I'll kind of give you an update of what we've been doing lately and what's been happening with us in the ministry and in our lives as the Dodson family. But it just seems like sometimes there's just so many things that we're doing. You know, you have to change hats, as it were. You're going from husband to father, you know, to employee, to boss. You just all these things going on. And I can kind of feel how Martha felt that day. She had the Savior at her house. Do you realize who that was? That Jesus was there. He's the creator of the universe. Oh, I can just see Martha's turmoil. Now I wouldn't tell her this, so I know you're recording this. So my mother, are you planning on putting on the radio or something? Okay, well, My mother doesn't have a computer, so we're okay. My mother's a bit of a Martha. As a child growing up, I loved having preachers come to visit. You know, we'd have missionaries in, and Mom would be one of the first ones to volunteer to have the missionaries over for dinner. You know why? Because my mom wanted to make sure that dinner was just right. And not knowing the personal tastes of the missionary, my mother would have pot roast on the table. She would have chicken on the table. She would have fish on the table. Besides that, you know, with pot roast, you need potatoes and gravy. Right? With chicken, you need stuffing. With fish, she used to always do pierogies. Okay? Now, of course, each one of those dishes had their own vegetables. With pot roast, it was always carrots in our house. With chicken and stuffing, it was always corn. Right? With fish, I never cared because I don't like fish. But you know, Mom would put out a spread you wouldn't believe. It was like walking into hometown buffet. Everything was there. You could pick and choose what you wanted. And she would love doing it, but she would work herself into a frenzy getting ready for that meal. And I kind of can picture Martha like that. Have you ever just try to picture this in your mind's eye? I can picture this in my mind's eye, just thinking about my mom and everything. And Martha came to Christ and says, "Don't you care? I'm doing all the work around here." I've often wondered why Christ said, "Martha, Martha." You know, sometimes preachers will say, you know, he said, "Oh, Martha, Martha." Well, I think maybe it was more like this, "Martha, Martha," because she was in full mode. She was running. She was going. He was trying to get her attention. We see this passage description. The first thing I see is a troubled saint. But, you know, before we get down on Martha, I want to point out one thing. You know what she did? She did open her home to Jesus. She did open her home to Jesus. The sad thing is most Christians today fail to open their home to Jesus. I was just talking to, I look at Pastor Thompson, right? I look at him and all I think is Brother Bob. So, you know, I almost said Brother Bob. Pastor Thompson and I last night, we're talking and just sharing some things about ministry and some of our concerns about churches in general. And it's sad that in most homes today, or most Christians today, they put on their Christianity for Sunday with their suit coats and take them off on Monday when they go to work. I made this statement several times yesterday down at the conference. One of the greatest problems that I see in the churches is not the question of separation of church and state. You know, and separation church and state is a fallacy. It's not in the Constitution. I've read it. It's not there. But it's a fallacy. But that's not the greatest problem in the church today. The greatest problem in the church today is that the church and the believer has bought into the idea of a separation between the sacred and the secular. The difference between the sacred and the secular. And you know, there's a separation there, and never the twain shall meet. We do our church stuff, and then we do our work stuff. You realize, and again, something we were talking about last night, he kind of loaded my buggy a little bit last night, but one of the things we talked about last night was, you know, full-time Christian service. Well, you know, we like to use that term, full-time Christian service, pastors in full-time Christian service, pastors in full-time Christian service. We like to use that term of full-time Christian service. Do you realize every believer should be in full-time Christian service? There's not a separation. There's not a difference. We all need to be in full-time Christian service. That tells me that when I'm in church, I should be living a life that Christ would want me to live the best that I can. But that also tells me if I'm at work on Monday morning or wherever I am on Monday morning, right, that I need to be living a Christian life to the best that I possibly can. Right. Oh, by the way, that's not quite good enough to live the best that you possibly can. You realize that when God gives us a command, he always gives us a way of living it. What we need to do, my friends, is to live our Christian lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people get afraid when you talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's real. The fruits of the Spirit. I love the fruits of the Spirit. Now don't get worried. I don't get into the charismatic movement, but I love the fruit of the Spirit. You read that passage of Scripture where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If you live in the Holy Spirit, you will not what? Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That sounds like a promise to me. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if we look at that and look at it logically, and if we lose our anger or lose our control and we get angry or if we do something we know we should not do, one of those lusts of the flesh, guess what? The opposite is true. If we have the lust of the flesh in our life, we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not walking in the Spirit. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit, but that doesn't happen just on Sunday. That doesn't happen just on Wednesday. That should be happening every day of the week. Should be happening every day of the week. But Martha, before, like I said, before we get down on Martha and her toiling, and so many times I've heard preachers get up and just rail on Martha. You know, she was so caught up in things, she didn't take time to sit at the Savior's feet. But before we do that, she did open her home to Christ. She did open her home. Another thing that she did is she wanted to do her best. She wanted to do her best. She was struggling. She was tied up in the preparations for the fact that the Savior was with her. She was tied up in that. I don't know what all she was doing. I just picture her doing like Mom does, you know, just cooking up a storm and getting everything ready, wanting to make sure everything was just right. And I mean, my mother, when she set the table and the missionaries would be there, she'd have the pot roast here and the, you know, and have the main dishes out, and everything that she thought would go with those dishes were around them, you know, and that way a missionary could pick and choose what he wanted, you know. She wanted to do her best. Well, one of the things that Martha thought that wasn't necessary is she thought she needed Martha. She thought she needed Martha. You see, but Brother Dotson, she was busy. She had more work than she could do. She was trying to get it all done, but she thought she needed Martha. You realize that God has given us a task to do. Sometimes he gives us a task to do by ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is always sufficient. The Holy Spirit is always sufficient to see us through that task. I know sometimes it gets long and hard, and especially, you know, if you're in ministry, and be honest, there's been times and I've been discouraged. You turn around and you say, why isn't anybody catching the vision that I have? But Christ is sufficient. The Holy Spirit is sufficient. Of course, then she requested Jesus' help. Some say that she was complaining. I don't know if she was. I think she was just overwhelmed. But she requested help from the Savior. Of course, we see that Jesus' answer was, he said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. If I were to name this lesson this morning, I'd name it, one thing is needful. It's one thing is needful. So we've looked at Martha, we've looked at the troubled saint. Now we want to look at the trained saint. Mary, she too opened her house. Mary and Martha lived together, and she too opened her house for Christ, to Christ. But one thing that I see that's different, we saw that Martha there in Martha's situation, she wanted to do her best. I see Mary where she wanted the best. She wanted the best. She wanted to hear from God. And she chose the best. Oh, there's nothing wrong with service and serving the Lord. Nothing wrong in serving the Lord. And Martha was serving. But you know, sometimes service is a camouflage for not walking with the Lord. So many times service is a camouflage for not walking with the Lord. I've been in churches where you just find a few people who are just busy about everything. They're going from here to there. They're doing everything that they can do in the ministry. They're doing everything that they can do in the church. And it's a camouflage for lack of a walk with Christ, a walk with God. There's one thing that is needful, and that's to be close to the Savior. There's one thing that is needful, and that's to walk with God. You realize that if our walk with God is right, our service will be right. If our walk with God is right, our service will be right. Service is in no way a substitute for a close walk with God. Christ told her that one thing is needful, and that's to sit at his feet. I believe it's true today that one thing is needful. You know, we as preachers get caught up in our little hobby horses. You ever see a preacher get caught up on a hobby horse? Yeah, I have. But we get caught up in our little hobby horses, something that we ride to death. You know, and most of it I've seen is good things. Oh, for years I had my hobby horse. My hobby horse was children's ministries. Oh, it's still where the Lord has placed me and as the Lord has called me. But I have grown a little bit. I've matured a little bit to realize that it's not the end of the ministry. You talk to someone and you share with them about your vision and the need to reach young people. And I believe you need to reach young people. Look at some of the statistics today. Do you realize if a young person reaches the age of 15 without receiving Christ as their Savior, chances are they never will receive Christ. Oh, there's exceptions to the rule, but chances are they never will. By the age of 15, their heart is so hardened to the things of the Lord, it's awful hard. It's awful hard. So it's important to reach children. But it's not the end of the ministry. It's not the end and all of the ministry. But, you know, and brother, Pastor Thompson, I realize, I wanted to say Brother Bob again, but Pastor Thompson, if you don't know about Brother Bob, ask him, he'll tell you. But Pastor Thompson, I know you're involved with the single ministries, but it's not the only ministry of the church. It's not the only ministry. I know soul winning is important, and we're commanded to go soul winning. But that's not the end ministry of the church. That's not the end job of the believer. The end job of the believer is to get close to Jesus. This one thing is needful, Christ said. One thing is needful. And Mary was doing, she was sitting at Jesus' feet. When was the last time we sat at Jesus' feet? I mean, just sat there. Sat there and enjoyed our time with the Lord. Just sat there, either in church under preaching, or sat there in our devotion time with the Word of God and in our prayer life, and just sat there and enjoyed where we were. One thing is needful, and that's to get close to God. One thing is needful. When's the last time we sat at Jesus' feet? Oh, I don't know about you, but I have to be honest. I'm preaching. I have to be honest. Amen. I was telling Brother Thompson last night, I heard an evangelist a few weeks ago, I wanted to get in the flesh. I wanted to help that man. As he stood up and he was preaching, he says, "Now I'm being honest with you," right? And then he stepped aside and he says, "And now I'm preaching." What does that say? That says when you're preaching, you're not being honest? And he was using some illustrations that were, as folks like to talk about it, evangelistically speaking. You know what that means? They're lying. Yeah. Evangelistically speaking, we had 300 people in church today. You know? It's a lie. But he stood there and he was pointing it out. He said, "Now I'm being honest with you. Now I'm preaching." Well, that really bothered me. No, that was just for free. I just threw that in. You can take that out of the tape, amen. But, you know, one thing is needful. That's our walk with God. That one thing is needful. By the way, if that one thing is fulfilled, if you're walking with God, if you're sitting at Jesus' feet, guess what? The single ministry will fall in line. The soul winning will fall in line. Our sanctification, our holiness will fall in line. Our tithing and faith promise will fall in line if we're walking with Christ. If we do that one thing, and I believe that's why Christ said one thing is needful. If we can get to the place where we sit at Jesus' feet and learn of Him, that one thing is needful. One of the things that we see in this passage of Scripture was the fact that Martha was taking care of the externals. She was making sure the tables were set. She was making sure everything was done. Mary was taking care of the internal. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And verse 12. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth Him of the evil." You see what that passage of Scripture is saying? That passage of Scripture is saying that we need to turn with our hearts. That's the internal, isn't it? Martha was spending so much time and so involved on the external, she forgot the internal. We need to concentrate on the internal. You know, it says that we should turn ye even to me with your heart. That's on the inside. You notice it goes on in the next verse. It tells us to enrange your heart and not your garments. You know what that's referring to? That's referring to the state of mourning, the state of repentance. In the Old Testament days, when someone was mourning or when somebody was being repentant, they would rip their clothes to show their willingness to give of themselves again. Their sorrow, they would rent their clothes. Job rent his clothes when he heard of the deaths of his children. But here in this passage of Scripture, he's saying, don't rent your clothes. Don't give me the outward, the outward appearance of it. Rend your hearts. Rend your hearts. Work on the interior. And again, as I said just a few moments ago, if we're walking with the Lord, if we're close to the Lord, everything else will fall in line. But if we repent in our hearts and we give our hearts to God, everything else will fall in line. You know, I've been in churches, and this is not what I know. I was teasing before about the white shirt and the long sleeves, and Brother Jasanis used to pick on me about my all I ever owned was short sleeve shirts. I really don't like material on my arms below my elbow. I just don't like it. And I figured I had to wear a suit jacket anyway. Why have two layers of material down past my elbow? So all I ever wore was short sleeve shirts, and I'd be at the house, and I'd be getting ready, and before I put my coat on, he'd catch me and look at me, just shake his head sometimes. But, you know, I've been in churches where they won't allow you to speak from the pulpit if you have wired rim glasses on, brother. Wired rim glasses. Say, why? Well, you know, back in the 60s, the hippies, they wore their little wired-rimmed glasses, and they were, there's a sign of rebellion, brother. You can't wear wired-rimmed glasses and be on my platform. I've been in churches where I wasn't speaking in this church for obvious reasons. That's why every time a pastor would ask me to come to his church, I'd send him my prayer card with my picture on it. But I've been in churches where they would not allow you to speak from the platform with facial hair. I didn't preach there. I did have one pastor one time. He saw me, and this was before I started sending my prayer card out with my literature. He surprised him. You could tell it set him back when I showed up with a full beard. And he looked at me and said, "Brother, if I were to tell you that you couldn't preach in my church with a full beard, what would you do?" And I looked at him and I said, "Pastor, I trust that you prayed for this meeting and asked me to come in the Lord's leading. I've prayed about this meeting, and I believe the Lord would want me here. And if my having a beard would hinder the meeting, I would shave it." He looked at me and said, "Good answer," and left me preach with a full beard. But see, a beard, again, was a sign of rebellion. Okay, myself personally, I believe it's a sign of spirituality. But you understand what I'm saying. There are places out there and churches out there and believers out there that if you don't show up with a white shirt, you don't do it. If you don't, and they're so concerned about the outward. But you know, if we become concerned about the inward, the outward will take care of itself. The outward will take care of itself. One thing is needful. That one thing is to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, I believe that if there was more than one thing, Christ would have said it. He at least would have said one of the things that is needful, but he said one thing is needful, and that's being at his feet. Why is it then that so many of us fail to get to that one place? You know, I kind of look at this verse as I do the verse in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." It doesn't say without faith that it's hard to please God. Or without faith, you might not be able to please God. It says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think that's a pretty important verse for us. Now, if you go into most churches today and ask people for a definition of faith, you'll get, you know, if you ask 10 theologians what the definition of faith is, you'll probably get 12 definitions. If it's impossible to please God without faith, don't you think we should know what faith is? I believe it's something we should know. If there's one thing that is needful, don't you think we should be doing it? As I said before, much service is often camouflaged for not walking with God. We as believers, we pump ourselves up and we get ourselves into it. We do all we can and work all we can and help the church all we can, and we're doing all this work, and we sit back at the end of the day and say, "Oh, I praise the Lord. I'm serving God. Oh, my relationship with God is all right." But we skip our devotion time. We skip our prayer time. Much work is not, or much service is not, is often a camouflage for not walking with God. We need to be able to take time and walk with God. Now, this will all shock you, but for the last point for the day, or for this Sunday school, or is it shocking you? What time is it? It's a shock. Pastor Jasanis is waiting for the next outline. That's what he's waiting for. Let's look at the result of being with Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen? Let's look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see the results of sitting at Jesus' feet? Look at Peter and John. They spoke with boldness. They had an understanding of the scriptures. They preached boldly. They were able to hold their own, as it were, with the theologians and the lawyers of the day when they were cross-examined. So much so that these lawyers and theologians sat back and looked at it and said, man, they're unlearned. They didn't go to college. They're unlearned. They're ignorant. The only thing that they had was that they were with Jesus. The results of being with Jesus. How many times do we come across someone who we just feel down deep inside, the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts? He says, you need to tell that person about me. You need to tell them about me. You need the witness here. And you don't know what to say. And you get nervous and scared sometimes. And you know that the Lord is leading you, but you fail to say anything. See, one of the excuses we hear is because, well, I don't know the scriptures well enough. Well, you need to be with Jesus. You need to be with Jesus. I've noticed in churches and working in children's ministries, it seemed to me very apparent. I've noticed in churches that when I've gone into churches in the past to do neighborhood Bible times and vacation Bible schools and help them run bus routes, you know where they run the bus routes to? They run them to the projects. They run the neighborhood Bible times into the projects. You know, very seldom have I ever been in a church where the bus route ran through the development. It ran through the project. You know what the difference between the developments and the projects are? The houses look a lot alike in many cases. The difference is the people that's in there. For some reason, it's easier for us when we go door to door to go knocking door to door on the lower side of town. When was the last time you went on a door-to-door visitation to the rich part of town? They need Christ. And by the way, the Bible didn't say that it was impossible for a rich man to get into heaven. It's just harder. Because he's relying on his riches more than anything else. Why is it we don't have the boldness that we need? Why is it that we become afraid and we get tongue-tied? It's because we haven't spent time with Jesus. We haven't spent time with Jesus. This one thing is needful. I don't know about you, but it's played on my heart for a number of years. And I know I taught a series of Sunday school lessons here at one time on knowing God. But it's laid heavy on my heart for a number of years that we as Christians don't take time to know Jesus. We don't take time. And if Christ says that this one thing is needful, I think we need to be doing that. Oh, I know Christ said go into all the world. I know Christ gave us the other commands, and the Word of God gives so many commands and standards and things that we need to do. But he said this one thing is needful. And Martha chose that one thing. And you notice there, I like this. I really do now. I know you're going to have to turn back to it to tell you what it is, but I really like this. Uh, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see that? It says, which shall not be taken away from her. You say, Brother Dotson, I've heard many, many different excuses and many, many different reasons. You say, Brother Dotson, you don't understand. I've got work responsibilities, and I just don't have time to spend with Christ. I don't have time for my personal walk. I don't have time to sit at Jesus' feet the way you talk about it. Well, if you choose to, it shall not be taken away from you. See, in that verse, the key to that part of the verse is Mary chose the right thing. And because she chose the right thing, Christ said it shall not be taken away from her. I'm thoroughly convinced, and I had to be convinced of this personally, because I used to run like that. I used to get to a point where I was doing so much that I didn't have time for my personal life. I didn't have time for my devotions. I didn't have time for family devotions. But, well, you know, when I chose to do it, the promise holds true that it shall not be taken away from her. The time will be there. Say, but Brother Dotson, I'm in the ministry, and you know, I study for my messages, and I study for this, and I study for that, and I'm preparing Sunday school lessons and messages, and I'm preparing for the children's class, and I'm doing all that. I'm in the Bible, you know, a couple hours a day, 6 days a week. Yeah, but is it study or devotions? Is it study or is it time of just being at Jesus' feet? Do you understand the difference? Do you realize the difference? There's a difference of sitting down, and as again we were talking last night. Boy, did we talk last night. I left your house, brother, last night tired. I got 3 hours of sleep the night before. I taught 3 classes yesterday. I sat through a message yesterday, which is a good thing. But boy, by the time I got up here last night, I was just tired. Went over for dinner with the pastor and his family. I was tired. I left your house, what, 7 o'clock-ish? The children were going to sleep, and I left about 7 o'clock, and I said, boy, I need to go back and just relax a little bit, work on my messages for today. I just need to do that. I got back, and I got myself comfortable. I was comfortable last night, brother. I got myself comfortable. And I figured, well, I should go up and say hi to Doug and brother, Pastor Thompson, right? I should go up and you know, say hello to them, make sure they know I'm down there and you know, do pleasantries. And I got up there and I said hello, and we sat down and we started talking. It was around 11 o'clock when we finished. Now, you know, it just happened that way. But you know, last night was a good night. It really was. But sometimes we get so busy in our ministries, we get so busy in our preparation. And last night we talked about proper preparation. We talked about the 7 laws of biblical interpretation. Do you guys know the 7 laws of biblical interpretation? Oh, we got some. You know what? Without the 7 laws of biblical interpretation, you may misinterpret your Bible. You may. I'm not saying you will, but you may. 7 laws of biblical interpretation, and we talked about it because sometimes preachers just don't seem to know them. And we'll talk. I'm going to talk about a verse later. But we can study. But it's not the same as a devotional time. It's not the same as a time to sit there and just enjoy being with Jesus. You know what some of the greatest times I have? It's when I'm driving down the road. I have the King James Bible on audio tape. I put the Bible in, and I drive for hours and just listen to the Word of God. I'm not trying to study. I'm not trying to memorize. I'm just listening to God's Word. Oh, what a blessed time that is. What a blessed time that is. I'll be doing that. And you know, the Word of God, now, I hope most of you know me well enough to know that, you know, I'm not off the wall. But, you know, I've driven down the road listening to the Bible on tape and had conversations with God. Isn't God's Word God talking to us? Well, I've listened to him talking to me, and I'd be driving down the road, and the Bible, they'd say something, and I'd say, oh, Lord, that's good. Man, that's good. I needed to hear that, Lord. That's good. And what a blessed time it is. What a blessed time it is. I gave my last point a little while ago. Now I'm going to give my last illustration. There's a young lady I know. She's not as young as she used to be. She's in her early 20s now, but that's still young compared to me. A young lady I know who helped me at camp one year. I used to run a camp down in Pennsylvania, and she helped me at camp one year. She was one of my staff members. And at a camp, we always had staff meetings. We'd leave two or three key personnel out with the campers to make sure nobody was, you know, killing each other or anything like that. And we'd have a morning devotional and prayer time and staff meeting. And we had that meeting the first morning. And this young lady, her name's Vicky. Vicky's a sweet thing. She has a sweetheart about her. She's legally deaf. She hears some sounds. She reads lips like you wouldn't believe. She can, you know, she can speak. She's not deaf and dumb, but she's, you know, but you know, she just has a sweet personality. Maybe sometimes hearing is not a good thing for us. We hear a lot of things we shouldn't, and she's just innocent. And even at the age of 20, she just has this innocence because she hasn't heard all the garbage we've heard, you know. And we sat down, and we had our morning devotions, and she was sitting there. And I learned that week that, you know, when I was speaking, I had to make sure I was looking towards her because she couldn't read my lips if I didn't. And it was time to pray. So it wasn't a large staff, so everyone took a time just for a couple minutes of prayer. And she bowed her head, and she prayed. And, you know, you hear people pray. You know, I've heard people pray, and I've heard people pray in Old English. Oh, Lord, what dost thou seest fit? Right? I've heard people pray and quote scripture verses. I mean, the whole passage of scripture. Now, I believe we need to pray scriptures, but they'd give references. It's God's word. It's his book. He knows where it is. You know what I mean? But Vicky, she bowed her head that morning. She prayed. And her prayer kind of went like this. She said, Father, good morning. This is Vicky. Thank you so much for the good night's rest I had last night. I really do appreciate it. Lord, we're starting camp today. I know you know that, but we're starting camp, and we just need you to help us with camp. I know you will. There was no pretense in her prayer. She had a conversation with God. When she prayed, she got done praying, I just looked at her, and I knew that she sat at Jesus' feet. Because her prayer was like a prayer to a friend. She sat at Jesus' feet. I knew it. Then my prayer to myself is, oh, Lord, help me to be like Vicky. This one thing is needful. One thing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, coming from the lips of Jesus to hear that one thing is needful. Lord, I can't help but wonder how many times I have forgotten that one thing. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship that we have with each other. But Lord, as best as I know my heart, I still desire to walk closer to you today than I did yesterday. Lord, I still desire to sit at your feet a little longer each day. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, I pray for the folks who are here today. Lord, I ask you to stir in their hearts a desire to sit at your feet. And Lord, all these things we pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.
I have about 20 minutes till the main service.